this with me this morning back to the fifth chapter of the book of Romans for a starting point. I think I told you this was one of my favorite scripture. One thing about this is to understand in the beginning that we got to understand man. Man is at enmity with God. You don't want anything to do with him. Light has come into the world and he loves darkness rather than light. That's just the way he is. That's his nature. Ever since he fell in the garden, that's his nature to be. You think we need this? We'll do it then. So he says, therefore, better. All right. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This peace with God is not what most people think of peace. They won't think of peace on earth and all that sort of stuff. Not going to be any peace on this earth. Guaranteed. It's going to wax worse and worse. The older we get, the worse it's going to get. But this peace with God is knowing that God doeth all things well. Nothing gets awry that he didn't perfectly plan all along. It is his will being carried out always. So we have peace with God. Whatever happens, we'd say, God doeth all things well. We are satisfied with the way he does it. Because if our heart's in the right place, we'd understand that God is never wrong. He's perfectly righteous. Holy, thrice holy. Holy, holy, holy. Without any mistake, he's perfect. Didn't go verse 2, he said, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. Into this grace wherein we stand. We're at peace with God. That's where we stand. And rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That's what we rest in. That's what we look for daily, is to find that perfect peace. A lot of things go on in this world all the time. It is frustrating, to say the least. We look at it sometimes and we do wonder, even people of God have to wonder about all the things that go on in this world. How cruel and how it's just constant upheaval. We know, we understand there's going to be wars and rumors of wars and all those things going on. But sometimes we wonder. But then we don't question it in a fashion like, well, God, you ought not do this. We wait. Patience is the name of the game. Wait until we understand, until we have clear understanding. Lord, we'll show it. we will see it. He promised that he would teach us all things, that if we follow after him, if we seek him. Verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation. Well, if these things come on us, it must be for good reason. It must be for our teaching. It must be for our edification or education. Edification. It teaches, tribulation teaches us to grow in the same grace that he's talking about here, that we are at peace with God. In tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Patience. Some people, even worldly people, have a kind of a patience. When calamity comes, it's common to say, well, we're a resilient people, and we're fixing to overcome. We'll build back better, and we'll record this so we can look back at it, and we'll see that that don't happen again. It's the wrong kind of peace with God. No. We're not going to overcome that which God brings. But we're satisfied with tribulation because it teaches us patience. Sometimes I'm a little short on patience when I get to working on a chainsaw and it won't start. Your patience kind of runs a little thin. But, you know, sometimes I have to just lay it down and go do something else. See, that's the way it is. All those just little things teach us to be at peace with God. People, because they love darkness rather than light, they don't have any real patience. I'm talking about spiritual patience now. Natural patience. People can find some of it. Some people are just laid back. They don't know why. But the people of God can understand that this tribulation that works patience comes from a higher power, from God Almighty above. All the things that are going on in this world are to teach his people patience. And they have that hope that God is always governing all things that happen in this world. He's the governor of all things. Nothing happens that doesn't come from him. The good and the bad, what we'd call bad. Sometimes we think of it that way, as being bad. And you know, it may really be bad. Things tore up, train derailed, all kind of things going on. And we would consider it bad because it's killing people. But then, what is death? It's also something that works patience in us. We wait to see what God has. You can understand if God had to give man some kind of patience, he'd commit suicide, all of us. But we look to God. And then verse 4, he said, in patience, experience. And experience, hope. We experience all these things that we might grow in the grace of hope also. We look. and hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. I think of this every once in a while when we think about offering salvation to people in a manner that they just walk down the aisle, pick it up, say, don't say you go into heaven and bring God down, or go down below and bring him up. It's not in our power. It's a gift of God, the grace of hope and patience, faith. It's all tied together. It's in one, just one great gift. It's all reckoned in Jesus Christ, that we have that hope and we have that patience to wait upon him. They might deliver us in body and mind, or mind and body, maybe. It would be delivered from all these things. And hope maketh not ashamed. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And that's where our hope and our patience lies, is within him. In the book of Colossians, Colossians, the first chapter, I've had that nose running for a month and been taking all kind of medication that don't seem to be improving. Colossians 1. Get in my right spot here. In verse 9, he said, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you." That's the one thing that we ought to do one for another, that we might find grace, or the patience of grace. Pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of him and his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Be at peace with God. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. That we might know him. He said, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, and tribulation worketh patience. We don't pray for tribulation, but it's all about us. It comes. The Lord put it there to keep educating us. Keep reminding us. It's a constant reminder. Look about us and all the things that are going on. It's a constant reminder of who God is. And not only that, it's a constant reminder of who we are. So we take it with long suffering and joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. In this light, is patience. If we see the light, if we're looking for the light, if we see the light, it brings on a calmness, an assurance, looking unto the end of our salvation. It's a peace with God. What a peace it is to know that God rules all things. Or else we'd be really miserable like all the rest of the world. Not have any understanding. Not have any knowledge. The long suffering of Christ is our perfect example. Had suffered all those things upon himself. In the second chapter, in verse 2, he said that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. That's what we have, isn't it? Faith, hope, and charity. They say charity, love. That's what we have. God's people. And unto all riches of the full assurance to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now the mystery is talking about here is the saving, the salvation of the Gentiles. But that's our hope. It would be complete. The promise to Abraham was make you a great nation. So that is our peace that God is at work. We have to acknowledge that. It's an understanding and an acknowledgement that God is who He is. That He's all powerful. That He's always present. He's always at work. Always keeping us in full assurance of what He promised. I'm going to save people. And they're going to be my people. And I'm going to be their God. So we continue to look forward to the saving of souls because it has been promised. He's coming to gather us all unto Himself. When the last one is brought in, He'll come. What do we have to do? Be patient. Wait for the coming of the Lord. 2 Thessalonians. First chapter again, verse 2, I guess, for grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience. You continue on your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is a manifest token of a righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, which for which ye also suffer. we don't have too much tribulation as far as our church is concerned. We don't have people trying to come in and stop us, in other words. But we do have that, always that evil that's trying to encroach upon us. I don't know whether any of you have experienced, I've been thrown out of a church. Yeah, they asked me to leave. You know, I'm not bragging about that or anything, but it can happen. And I'm thankful that we seem to have a peace even here among ourselves, that we understand these things and we're patient to wait on the Lord to speak to us and come. Once again, I'm thankful that we come here not very long ago when you asked us in and welcomed us, Brother Bruce, all of us. And it's good. It's, you know, it's pleasant. It's pleasing that you can come, that we can come and worship together and have the confidence and have the assurance and have the peace that passeth all understanding. You can pray for peace in this world. I'll repeat once again, all you want to, it's not going to happen. But you can pray for what will happen, that's peace in your soul. And God will give it. James said, ask for it. Ask for it. Don't ask amiss now. Ask what you need. For patience to wait upon the Lord to come. It's good that we can come together in the unity of the faith. Yeah, they asked me to leave in no uncertain terms. I taught them for over a year about the doctrines of grace. And I thought it was being received. And all of a sudden it turned, and it was ugly. That man wanted to give me a whipping. I'm not sure he could, but he kind of wanted to.
I feel sorry for him if he tried.
So, yeah. But listen, it can happen. So be careful. Be careful. It may come. I hope, I'm using hope in a different sense now. I hope that we could resist doing something that wouldn't bring God glory. If you have to, walk away with peace in your own heart, with your conscience being clear, if you're walking in the ways of the Lord. 2 Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter then. I was talking about teaching so long that all of a sudden this one fella, he realized what I was teaching. He had done read enough somewhere to understand what I was teaching. He didn't have a pure knowledge, but he had enough knowledge to know what I was teaching, that God was sovereign in all his affairs. That's what made him mad. He loved darkness rather than light, I guarantee. In chapter 3 and verse 1, he said, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Once again, he's going to want them to pray. Pray for it, and that ye may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Now we command you, brethren, command you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the traditions which he received of us, the gospel of Jesus Christ. But pray that the Lord might direct your hearts in the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ, or for the patience of Christ. What patience? We talked the other day about the patience of Job. There's nothing compared to the patience of Christ. What patience? Knowing what he was going to have to pay. But he endured to the end, which is our perfect example. In the book of James, first chapter, verse 1, he said, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which were scattered abroad, greetings. It kind of was tribulation here, wasn't it? It's all scattered abroad. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying your faith, which worketh patience, But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that he giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, wavering nothing, waiting. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed to and fro. But if you lack wisdom, ask. Always asking. And what else? Praying when you ask. Always looking. When I think on these things also, I think about back to Romans once again, be subject unto the powers that be, for they are elected of God. Sometimes our patience needs to be unto these things also. Wait upon the Lord. That's the whole thing. The Lord's going to do his perfect work. It won't fall short one bit. And it'll be unto us life, His perfect work. Tribulation worketh patience. That's why I'm happy. It's always about us. But if we just shed it off and say, oh, well, that's the way men do. That's their way. But then if we take it into account that these things are for our good, all things work together to good to them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. In 1 Peter then, second chapter, in verse 20, say, for what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults you shall take it patiently? But if, when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called. All these things, we were called into this unperfect world, imperfect world. But then he goes on, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we're healed. For we were as sheep going astray, but we are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of our souls. But he suffered long that he might relieve us from all the anxieties and the things of this world that would so easily beset us, and give us the knowledge that He's all supreme power that rules over all things. Be subject unto the powers that be, for they are ordained of God.